Well, good evening. I guess I really have the opportunity to introduce Philip to you tonight because Naomi and I are probably the only people in the room that have heard him speak before. So several of you know that with you have too. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad for that. All right. We Grace and Truth Books has been asked for many years to set up a missions book table at the missions conference annually for Tulsa Bible Church. And so one of the years we did that, I guess it was this past year, we heard him speak of the church, and so I recommended that we have him speak at this missions weekend, particularly since our focus is really on Tulsa churches. He's been with Crossover Bible Church since 2005 and became lead pastor in 2009. And the rest of the details that you may want to know about him are here, and he's going to share the word with us, tell us about the church, and then I think the idea of opening it up for some questions so folks can learn a little more afterwards. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Thanks, thank you. Good evening. Cool. I appreciate you guys. I'm honored to be here talking with you. Just a little background on me. I was born and raised in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And, I'm not an OSU fan, but, you know, I went to the University of Tulsa, played football there on a scholarship. Thank you to you in the house. Where I met my lovely bride. And if you can throw up a picture, that's my wife, Rondalyn, of 16 years. We met at TU, and really before God got a hold of both of our hearts, and it was in college where God drew us to himself and really gave us a heart for ministry. And so right after graduation, we went to Dallas Theological Seminary in preparation to start Crossover Bible Church. And so we started Crossover in 2006, and so we celebrated our 12th anniversary this past Easter, going on 13. And when we started the church, we wanted to be a kind of church that made a difference in the community. Like, as we were getting ready to leave seminary, one of the questions floating around was, if your church were to close its doors, never to open them again, would anyone in your community notice? And that really stuck with me. And I was like, man, we wanted to create and to help build a church in North Tulsa that our community knew was there. And so then when you start to even think, like, why should a church care and want to make a difference in its community? And really a passage that really leaps out at me when it comes to that is Jeremiah 29. And if you want to turn there with me, feel free. Jeremiah 29. And we're going to look at a little excerpt that the prophet Jeremiah wrote to the exiles that were there in Babylon. And just a letter from the Lord through Jeremiah to the exiles that were in Babylon. And starting in verse 4 of Jeremiah 29. And it's funny because a lot of us are familiar with verse 11. That's one of those favorite memory verses of everyone. But 4 through 7 was one that really impacted me. And this is what it says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. And let's pray real quick before we really get into the passage. Father, we thank you for being so gracious to us, for drawing us to yourself through your Son. And God, as I think back just how you've worked in my life, just way back at TU and just where we are today, I just can only say thank you. And I'm sure everyone in this room has stories of just seeing your faithfulness, seeing your goodness. And God, I pray that as we reflect on the fact that we're exiles here in this world, that we would think through what it looks like to faithfully serve you and to pursue the welfare of our city. And it's in your Son's name we pray, by the Spirit. Amen. My daughter's the exact same way. I love it. And so he writes this letter to the exiles. And so they were sent into exile. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had taken all the leaders and all the influential folks from Jerusalem to Babylon. And at this point, they think that they're only going to be there for a small, short time. And so God sent a letter through Jeremiah saying, hey, I want you to give them this message. And it's cool because First Peter refers to us as exiles. He's like, we're exiles and this is not our home. And I like, and I really want us to zero in on verse 7, because this is a key verse for me. And you'll see this word show up several times in this verse. But seek the welfare of the city. And he says, pray for the Lord on its behalf, for its welfare. You will find your welfare. And some versions have the word peace or prosper. Some versions even change those words in those two instances. But it's the exact same Hebrew word in all three instances. And the translation of that Hebrew word is shalom. It's like seek the shalom of the city. And really shalom, and that's why I don't like the word peace, because peace is, you know, absence of conflict. But shalom is so much deeper than that. Shalom, and this author Cornelius Plantinga, in his book, Not the Way It's Supposed to Be, has a great definition of shalom. And he says it's the webbing together of God, humans, and all creation, and justice, fulfillment, and delight is what the Hebrew prophets call shalom. We call it peace, but it means far more than mere peace of mind or a ceasefire between enemies. In the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight, a rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed, a state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its creator and savior opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom he delights. Shalom, in other words, is the way things ought to be. And I love how he says it's the way things ought to be. Because, you know, like when you go back to the, you know, creation account in Genesis, one of the things you hear over and over again is God saying that it was good. When he makes something, it was good, it was good. And at the very end, he says that it was very good. But then when we look at our world today, is very good the thing that comes to mind? Like when I look at my community in North Tulsa, where over 70% of our kids are born to unwed mothers, where all of our schools are failing, where the life expectancy gap is 10 years shorter than the rest of the Tulsa area, when I see that, I don't think good. So now the question is, what happened? And as we all know, if you go to Genesis 3, sin entered the world and broke this good world that God created. So we are now living in the effects and aftermath of what happens when sin gets brought into God's good creation and ruins shalom. But here God is telling his people, he said, now I have you in this city that's not your home. And the false prophets are telling them, hey, don't get settled in. Hey, don't even unpack because you're going to go back soon. And Jeremiah's like, no, you're going to be here like 70 years. And God is like, man, I want you, I have something for you to do while you're here. Seek the shalom of the city. And we get a cool framework for how to do that. And he says to be present in the city. And so he tells them, like, hey, get rooted, establish a presence there. Give your sons in marriage and marry them and you marry them and give your daughters in marriage. It's like, establish a presence. And so as a church, and I'll go back and say, like, our mission statement as a church is restoring our community by making disciples while loving and serving our neighbors. And so we really believe that God has us in North Tulsa to bring real restoration. And that happens through people coming to faith and having a real relationship with Christ. But we do that while we tangibly love and serve our community, while we bring shalom in a sense. And so the philosophy of ministry we follow is called Christian Community Development. And a lot of it is inspired by like this, being present in the city. And if you can hit those three R's. And so one of those is relocation. And so for us, we believe that the best way to serve in an under-resourced community like North Tulsa is to live in that community. And so all of our full-time staff have to live in North Tulsa. And so when we say our community, we really mean our community. And it's the quickest way, living in the community, being present, is the quickest way to change the language from they to we. And we've seen that, like our church, and reconciliation is another part of that. Our church is about 55% white, 45% African-American, but most of our white members live in North Tulsa. And so it breaks down those barriers. And so we want to be present in the community and work to see the shalom. And redistribution is not a government program, so I'll throw that out there right now. But it's what happens when you live in the community and its problems become your problems. It's like when our daughter, who was 11, would get sick, and we would have to drive all the way to 91st Memorial after hours to find a pediatric urgent care. We're like, man, there's nothing in our community in when it comes to health care. And that's one of the things that motivated us to start a clinic. And so when the community's problems become your problems, you use the things you know, you use your connections, you use your resources to help address those your community's needs. And so that's where just being present really helps with that. And then God also tells them to seek the shalom for the city, to work for, to strive for, because it doesn't just happen. He says to work for the welfare of your city. And so what we did in 2012 is started a separate nonprofit organization to allow us to take a more comprehensive approach to serving our community. Because the issue facing North Tulsa, the brokenness is there, is, you know, multi-layered, very complex. And it's like, man, it's going to take a comprehensive approach to deal with those issues. And so we can go. And so we, when we say restoring our community, we engage in youth sports, education, healthcare, economic development, and taking this multifaceted approach, because they're saying it's going to take more than Bible studies if we're going to see real restoration in our community. It's not going to take less than that, but it's going to take more than just having a Sunday morning worship service. We had to say we got to take a comprehensive approach to addressing the issues that are facing our community. And we take that comprehensive approach to a narrow geographic area. And so you go to the next slide. And so we, and you see the red on the map, and I know it's a little small, but right above that red is 36th Street North. You guys mind if I walk around a little bit? Okay. So this is a 36th Street North right here, and that's North Peoria. And we call this the Hawthorne neighborhood. And we own that 10 acres of land. And so this is the area that we target for all of our ministry initiatives. And so just to that side of the red there, those are the neighborhoods that we focus on. And so we have this comprehensive approach to a targeted geographic area. And so how we've been pursuing the peace for our city, and we started with youth sports. And so in 2012, we started with one second grade youth football team, and I coached that team myself. And we were able to win a championship that year, and it kind of put Crossover Youth Sports Association on the map. And now we have year-round sports, football, basketball, baseball, track and field. And it's been cool because and it's one of those things that you don't really think about it until you realize just how bad the coaching is in the community. That, I mean, there are coaches that regularly cuss at elementary-age kids. And so for us to start this program, saying, hey, it's a Christian-based program. You don't have to go to the church to be there. Folks would bring their kids to us just because our coaches don't cuss at the kids. But then it helps that we win as well. And so we've been able to grow this program out. And one of my biggest, one of the biggest highlights of the season for us, football season for the little kids, is this thing called Father-Son Jersey Night. Because one of the big surprises that we had when we started this team was that there are a ton of dads showing up to football practice. Because one of the stereotypes for African-American men is that they're not involved in their kids' lives. They are involved. They're there, and they're doing the best they can. And part of it is maybe helping shift some priorities and things of that nature. But they're there at the practices. And we were pulling them in as coaches. But we had this thing called Father-Son Jersey Night where going into the playoffs, every father figure or dad is there. They present their kid with their jersey. They tell them that they love them, three things that they're proud of them for, and that they believe in them. And I was a grown man before I heard anything like that from my dad. And now we have kids in our community hearing that starting in the first grade. And that's just one of those things that we do. And just leveraging youth sports to help folks see, man, this is the kind of relationship you can have with your son. And so right after that, we started the Impact Kids After School program. And it's right there at Hawthorne Elementary, which is the elementary school tied to that neighborhood. And it's a STEM-based program that meets Monday through Thursday where we help kids with homework, science, and all that stuff. And then we take them through the Jesus Storybook Bible and do like a New City Catechism and all those things where they're learning about the truths of the faith. And really the unique thing about our after-school program and summer day camp is that we hire high schoolers to work as the tutors in that program, and that's the Street Leader program, which is the next slide. And we have 15 high schoolers from McLean, Central, Booker T, that it's a real job. They start out like $8.50 an hour as tutors, and they don't have good grades to get the job, but they have to have good grades to keep the job. And so if their grades drop below a C, they lose their job and then will have to apply for a job, you know, next semester to get that. And there's a lot of demand for those jobs. And they're the ones that are teaching the younger kids the Jesus Storybook Bible. And then they do like different, they have breakouts, and after every day we have a street leader coordinator who's talking to them about the things of the Lord and really trying to help disciple them and them come to faith. And so this is another one of those things that it's, we saw a need in the community. Our executive director, him and his family lived in North Tulsa, and he'd have a bunch of high schoolers asking him like, hey, you got something for me to do? Can I mow your yard? Can I do something around the house to make a little money? And he's like, man, we got to find a way to create jobs for these kids. And so that's what we're able to do through the Street Leader Program. And then in 2014, we opened up Crossover Health Services. And it's a family medical practice. And when we opened that clinic, for every one doctor in North Tulsa, there were 26 in South Tulsa and Midtown. And the life expectancy gap was 14 years difference. And so we opened this up, and it's not a free clinic, because there are a lot of folks that have, like, Sooner Care and Medicaid. It's just a lot of doctors in the rest of the community will only take so many patients like that. And we'll say, hey, we'll take whoever. And one of the unique things about our clinic is that we have a spiritual care director. Because one of the things that we discovered is a lot of the issues that folks are coming in to see, there's some deeper underlying spiritual issues, emotional issues, that folks in brokenness that folks are dealing with. And to have somebody that they can talk to who's a licensed, she's just finished up her master's in marriage and family counseling. They can talk with them through that, pray with them, and say, hey, we have folks that are willing to walk with you through this. And that's what we do at Crossover Health Services. And it's cool. We're up to 3,600 patients now and on pace to have 6,000 patient visits this year through our health clinic. And then in 2015, we started our development company. And what we did, Justin, who's our executive director, and I, we drove through this neighborhood and looked at all the boarded up and vacant lots through that neighborhood. And it's one of those things where in the 50s, when that neighborhood was built, it was a nice middle class neighborhood. And at the time, there were over 35 boarded up homes. And going through that, we started acquiring some properties, renovating them and fixing them up. And I think that's some of the next slides, and helping people get into home ownership. And so part of just health, when you talk about a public health issue, is education, is health care, is the social, spiritual, emotional things that folks are going through, but helping people own homes as well. And God has opened the door for us to enter into a relationship with our Regent Bank to be able to purchase even more homes and fix them up and to get more people into home ownership and to be able to create jobs, because we have our own construction crew. And so we have guys that, and it's cool, just one of our guys who has a felony record and is trying to take care of his family, is now he's learned a skill and is in a discipleship relationship with the guy that's running our development company program. And so that's a relationship that wouldn't be there if we weren't engaging in this kind of work. And so that's what we've been able to do through our development company. And then in last year, we started Crossover Preparatory Academy. And it's a tuition-free, all-boy private school that we started with seventh grade. And I'm the executive director of the school because I was like, man, we have to get this school started this year. And so we started in 2017. And our goal was 30. We got 26. And I always say it's because it's hard to recruit to a school that doesn't exist. You know, and so I'm sitting there meeting with families and talking to them and just pointing out to them the situation, because a lot of folks don't realize just how poorly Tulsa Public Schools is doing to educate our kids. And it's one of those deals that I don't blame TPS. It's kind of a lot of ways they're fighting this fight with two hands tied behind their backs when they can't, you know, bring the gospel to bear in the people's lives. That's one of the reasons why we did a private school. When we were thinking about going charter or going private, we're like, man, the only reason we go charter was for the money. And we're like, we're not going to do that because we don't want to have to get creative with how we're going to bring the gospel to bear in the lives of our school and in the lives of our students. But the reality is, in 2015, there were only 22 African-American male students that graduated with a college-ready ACT score. Not 22%, just 22. And this was like, this is a national issue. And this is something that has been on my heart since college, because God blessed me with enough ability to get a free education at TU. So I got to play football, and I'm a product of a good school system. Stillwater has great public schools, so I came out ready for college. But I saw so many of my teammates that had the same opportunity, but who weren't ready to take advantage of it. And then seeing that nationally, 6 African-American males have the lowest college graduation rate, only 16%. And then hearing about what the situation here is in Tulsa, we're like, man, we've got to do something. And so when we started Crossover Prep last year with the 7th grade, the core group of students from that school were the kids from that 2nd grade football team that I coached. And so to be able to get them into the school, because usually organizations like this, middle school is where you lose kids, because that's when they start school ball, that's when they go off to middle school. And this is a year that, you know, they're trying to figure out who they are. And like last year was a huge learning experience for us. You know, when we talk about 12 and 13-year-old boys. And it's, yeah, it's, now I understand why there's a 3-month summer break in education and all those things. But it's cool. God has blessed that work. Now this year we have 7th and 8th grade and we're up to 59 young men. And it wasn't as hard to get to 59 this year because now we have a school that exists and a lot of parents that appreciate what we're doing for their kids. And even though we're a Christian school, we don't require families to sign a statement of faith because this is a outreach for us. We want to make disciples through this school. And so we don't require these kids to come from Christian families. As a matter of fact, we want them not being Christians so that way we can help them see what it means to trust and follow Jesus in all of life. But all of our staff, once again, our full-time staff, they have to be believers. They have to live in the community. And because they are the ones that we're really relying on to get the gospel to our students. And so it's been cool to see some of the lights come on for some of our young men. And when the school is full, Crossover Prep will be 432 students, young men. And we do have plans to start an all-girls school as well, and that'll be another 400 students that we will be able to impact. And if you can, and just dream with me on this, if we can graduate educated, godly young men and women who love North Tulsa, our community will never be the same. Because what happens is communities like North Tulsa get that way because those who can leave, leave. Like there have been several solid Christian kids that have graduated from the high schools and went on to college, but then they move out to Broken Arrow or they move to Owosso, if they even move back to the Tulsa area at all. But if we can get kids to say, no, this is my community and I can be a leader in this community, then North Tulsa will never be the same. And up here is the next slide is just we're in the middle of a capital campaign right now and just ask you guys to pray for us in that. We're about a third of the way into building the home for Crossover Prep. And it'll also be our after-school program will be there, and then Crossover Bible Church would meet there on Sundays. Because right now we're kind of spread out all over North Tulsa. Our church meets in one location. Our school is in a different location, and our after-school program is at the elementary school. Well, now we're about to be able to bring everything under one roof, so that way everyone who knows this after-school program knows that there's a church behind it that they can get plugged into. And so that's how we as a church have really sensed God's leading to work for and to pursue the peace of our community, knowing that the gospel has to be at the center of all that. Because if we're not actively trying to make disciples, and that's really my job at the church is saying, hey, we have to develop a disciple-making culture where everyone understands and embraces the call to make disciples. Because the sad reality is the longer we're in church, the fewer real relationships and friendships we have with people who don't know Jesus. And one of the huge benefits from what we've been able to do through CCI is that it gives us the opportunity to build relationships with folks we would never get to know. Like one of my best friends, and it's heartbreaking because him and his family just moved to Atlanta, but one of my best friends was a guy who was an ex-con with a Jehovah's Witness background. And we really have nothing in common other than we're both African-American dudes. But his son played on that 2nd grade football team. And then next year he started to coach with us. And now even though they live in Atlanta, we talk like every other day. And my wife and I got to do marriage counseling with him and his wife. He's got to hear the gospel several times. And we've had deep conversations. And he's a guy that I would never have gotten to know if we weren't pursuing the peace of our community. And the last thing that God really encourages his people to do, he says to pray for the city. says pray for it. Because one of the things we say at Crossover is God does the heavy lifting. Because all these things, you know, we're a church of like 150 on a good Sunday, maybe. And all this stuff that we've been able to do has been because God has opened doors that none of us thought possible. Ephesians 3:20, to the one who's able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power, there's a work within us. And so one thing that I'd love for you guys to do is to just pray for us. If you continue to pray, because we just had a strategic planning session just this weekend. Where we're like, what does God want to do through Crossover by our 20th anniversary? And we looked at that neighborhood that we're getting ready to build a community center. And we're like, man, we want to see 20% of that neighborhood impacted by the gospel. We want to see 20% of those folks trusting and following Jesus by the time we hit our 20th anniversary. So 2026. And so I want to invite you guys to pray for us in that, because it's going to take us being faithful as the people of God to pursue folks and to share the gospel with them and to let them know that there is hope through Jesus Christ. And I love the passage that was read, because that's when shalom will really be brought to this community, to this world, when Jesus comes back and undoes everything that sin broke in this world, that there'll be nothing that will ever make us cry again. And that's our hope, and that's what we look forward to. But as his people, when we see brokenness now in the world, we step into it and bring the hope that the gospel can bring. So I guess I can open it up now if there are any questions about Crossover and what we do and how we do it. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I've already gotten the website. I'm so glad you're here.
Cool.
Because my daughter has worked for years in the summertime.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I've known about you for a long time, and I'm so glad you're here. So thanks for coming. But on your website, it says I can click to be a volunteer. Should I click or should I drive up there?
You should click. And in that way, yeah, click, and then someone can respond, and then, you know, just let you know the different volunteer opportunities that are there. And because one of the things, we don't have a lot of, we call like one-off type of deals, where you can come, like, do a work day and then go back home, because it's really about relationships. The gospel flows through relationships. And so folks that, you know, we need coaches. We need folks to be involved with the after-school program. But it gives you opportunities to actually get to know some of the kids and some of the families that are there.
So that's something that would be better if you're just doing an ongoing volunteer thing, where you're in the same place, doing the same type of thing.
That's what we prefer, yes, ma'am. Are there any other questions? Yes, ma'am. And so we started a separate nonprofit organization, Crossover Community Impact. And one of the reasons for that is, you know, to give us access to resources that a church wouldn't normally have. And so, for example, the school, there's this guy, and it's God's timing type of deal. And that's why I say God does the heavy lifting. I got several stories I could tell you, but with the school, this guy, he grew the largest fencing company in the world and sold it for $1 billion. Billion with a B. And he's the guy that built Rejoice. It's a Christian school up in Owosso. $50 million. Well, doing that, he's like, man, this was fun. I want to start a Christian education foundation for disadvantaged kids. I'm like, hey, we got a school full of them for you. But it happened to be that the guy that runs his foundation started a campus ministry with our executive director. And so when he found out, I was like, wait, that's the guy that runs that? And so, you know, we set up a meeting, gave him a tour of the school, and they gave us $200,000 last year. And then $400,000 this year. And so it's just some of those things where it's not, you know, God does the heavy lifting. That's what we say. And like for how we are able to purchase the property we have, I'll tell you guys this story real quick. There was 42 acres of land. If you heard of the Mohawk Industrial Park, so there was like 42 acres of that 200 acre deal that we had under contract. The lady was wanting $210,000 for it. We offered $100,000, and she was like, I'll take it. And while we were raising the money for a down payment, some of our supporters, because I used to raise support, like missionary support, some of our supporters said, hey, if you can raise $50,000, we'll give you the other half. And so we were able to raise $50,000 in 3 months. And right before we closed on that property, a foundation came to us and said, hey, we actually want to buy this whole land, you know, this whole area, develop it for jobs, and your 42 acres is right in the middle of it, and if we can't get yours, we're going to scratch the whole project. And, you know, they're talking about bringing 1,000 jobs to North Tulsa, and we're like, man, we do not want to stand in the way of that at all. And so, like, if we can find some land to swap and still do what we want to do, we'll swap with you. And so we saw this old medical clinic, and our executive director's like, my dad used to represent that guy. His dad was a lawyer. And we wanted to buy the land behind the clinic. And the doctor's ready to retire. He said, hey, I can't find anyone to take over this place. I'll sell the whole thing to you. And so then we went back to this foundation and said, hey, if you can piece together this 10 acres of land, which we like better than the forest we had, it's like, if you can piece this together for us, we'll swap with you. They paid $1 million to get all of that land, and we just paid $100,000 for ours. And so then we had this building, a medical building, that now we're able to start crossover health services. That was on the back burner, because we knew we wanted to start a clinic. We just had no idea how we were going to do all that. But then when we got this building, one of our board members is like, hey, I'm going to give you guys $50,000 to get this clinic fixed up and started to go. And he was a doctor, practiced for 30 years out the one clinic. And he's like, if you guys just pay me back $2,000 a month, we can get it going. And that's how we were able to get our clinic started. And so it's just stories like that of just relationships and people seeing the work and caring and saying, hey, we believe in what you're doing and we want to partner with you. But it's been a cool, like I said, God does the heavy lifting, Ephesians 3:20, and it allows us to keep moving forward. Because, you know, a church of 150 has no business trying to raise $12 million for a community center. But God has opened doors, and we've had several foundations already say, hey, we're going to give you. We've raised $4 million to date, and it's still, you know, we still got a ways to go, but God's been opening doors. So, yes, ma'am. Crossover, you can go to our website, and, you know, depending on where your heart is, some folks like really care about the school, and we have a crossover scholarship fund, and this is another way we're able to do the school tuition free, is that our state has a very generous tax credit program where you get 75% of it back. So if you make a $100 donation for a kid to get a scholarship to go to crossover prep, the state will give you $75 back in tax credits. And you still get your federal and state tax deductions on top of that. Yeah, I know it sounds too good to be true, but it really is. And but then just going to crossoverimpact.org, and we do have some information on the back table, and that would be a way that you can donate. Yes, ma'am. Right. I mean, definitely praying is a huge one. And that's one of those, that is one of those things we're trying to figure out. Like, we have guys that will get involved in the coaching and all those things, but we're really wanting to hire someone like a pastor disciple making that can really help us go after the guys in that way and really creating ways to, we have things called huddles, which are kind of micro groups of 3 to 5 men or 3 to 5 women, where we kind of do life together and we get in the Word together and really just help each other grow and to be more like Jesus. And as we are able to bridge the gap between really the church and like our sports program to get more of those guys plugged into huddles, I think we'll see more fruit there in that. But yeah, reaching adults is just hard, period, when it comes to a lot of that. But we don't want to just reach the kids, but want to find ways to connect with adults as well. But yeah, great question. Were there any other questions? Sorry. Go ahead.
I was wondering if you could tell us just a little bit more about your church, how you're organized, kind of the basic theology.
Yeah, yeah. So we're part of the EFCA, Evangelical Free Church of America, which is a, you know, very Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. I don't know if you're familiar with Trinity, but that's the EFCA's seminary, but I went to DTS, so similar statement of faith as DTS. Right now, our denomination is premillennial, but there's probably, by the summer, they're going to change it from premillennial to more open it up to be glorious return of Christ. And that's like a big controversial deal. All the DTS guys don't like that type of deal. But we are a congregational church that's elder-led. And so to be part of the EFCA, you got to be congregational, but they don't define what congregational means. And so for us, congregational is the congregation. Once we say, hey, these are the guys that we would like to serve on the elder board and to lead the church, the congregation would have to sign off on that. And, I mean, we're just, you know, Bible church in that sense. So, that's one of the things about the Evangelical Free Church, because free stands for autonomous. And so we get to operate like an independent church, just as long as we share their statement of faith. Yeah, but a typical elder-led church. So just for me and my family, that we can find a sustainable rhythm. Because like right now, I'm the executive director of the school and still lead pastor of the church. And my wife's the director of development. And so she raises all the money for our nonprofit. And I'm coaching our football team. And so now it's like a very busy season. And I was literally talking to her before I came here, like, man, we're eating out way too much. It's like, we got to figure out a way to go grocery shopping more. But just that, and just to be able to embrace my limits, the humility, embrace my limits, and to say, hey, we need to get somebody else to do this or someone else to do that. And then just, we never run out of resources. So just the resources needs from the community center, because our school has outgrown our current meeting place. And so we're going to have to find another meeting place. And we don't want to have to send our eighth graders away to another high school because we couldn't find another place to meet. And so that's a huge deal there. And really, that we would be faithful to make disciples, because that's the real big push at the church right now, is developing a disciple-making culture. Because our nonprofit, this has all happened in like 5 years. And so CCI has kind of just blown up in the last 5 years, where our church, when it comes to disciple-making culture, isn't where it needs to be for us to really start restoring our community. In our church's life, I say right now, we're impacting our community, because we are having an impact, but we won't move into restoring our community until we really start making disciples. Good question. I don't have that exact stat off the top of my head, and I don't think we've, like, measured that yet, but it was probably somewhere in the 75% plus deal. But we don't ever tell folks you have to go to live in North Tulsa to go to Crossover, but you do to work for Crossover. And that's the distinction we make. Yes, sir.
Do you partner with any of the North Tulsa churches?
Yeah, well, I'm a part of like the North Tulsa Baptist Ministers Alliance. And really, not being from North Tulsa, there's still a lot of people I don't know and don't know me. And that, some of that is me being more intentional about getting out there and building relationships. Because what we would like to see, we describe Crossover as a community-focused church. And we would like to see a community-focused church within walking distance of every elementary school in North Tulsa. And so we know that that's going to mean partnering with other churches and existing churches and helping them, because a lot of folks have helped us. Almost everything we do, we've learned from somebody else. And so we want to help teach other folks how to do what we're doing. And then it also means that we're going to plant churches as well. And so we are planting a church by the Burroughs Elementary School and in that neighborhood. And hopefully we partner with the Presbyterian Church, the PCA Church, to plant a church there that should be planted by the end of the year, if not in early January. That's a good question. So there's John 5:24 that talks about crossing over from death to life. And then me and the other pastor, we were athletes, and the crossover move in basketball, where it's a sudden change of direction. And it's like just that analogy. So, crossover comes from that. And actually, we've been embraced by the community, because at one level, the churches don't have a reputation for doing anything. And so now we are a church who is. And it's funny, because there's this, like, one time we presented different groups and things like that. And there's this economic development group where we did a little crossover presentation. And it was one of the community activist ladies who, her tagline on her emails is, she's the community activist that tells it like it is until it isn't anymore. So that's the kind of lady she is. And like, she got our council person unelected. Like, he lost because of her. type of deal. And so we gave her a little presentation, and she stood up. She was like, I don't have a question. I have a comment. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know, she's about to give us the business. And then she said, when I first heard that a church was doing some of this stuff, I was against it because churches don't really do anything. But she's like, but this is more than a church. And she's like, I'm for it. And she's like one of our biggest advocates now. And so in a lot of ways, we got this Muslim guy, Nation of Islam, who's there was a Korean business owner, a hair salon, punched a lady, and it got caught on video. And so this guy has been picketing and boycotting that business ever since. So activist type of guy, where he posts on Facebook because his wife works for us. It's like, man, I respect Crossover, and hopefully they'll take an honorary Muslim member, you know. And they visited the church. She comes every now and then, but we do have respect from folks. But then, as you know, but we've still been under the radar in a lot of ways. And so as we grow, you know, there might be some opportunities for, you know, jealousy, envy type things. But that's why we try to be very open-handed with the other pastors, because it's like we're on the same team when it comes down to it. We have a real enemy, and there's so many unchurched folks, and that's who we really try to reach, is the unchurched. And we don't want to steal other people's sheep type of deal. So at this point, we haven't gotten much opposition at all. Yeah, I mean, I would say, yeah, the easiest thing would be just giving them the link to the website, all that. But we do have brochures, because, like, sports are huge in our community. So folks want to get their kids in sports. Our after-school program's free. And so any folks that live by that, because we don't provide transportation to our after-school program, but it's like anyone that lives close to there, you know, we'd love to have their kids involved. I mean, it's definitely increased my faith, you know, what God can do. And, you know, it's, our big thing is like, man, we just got to be faithful. You know, like, God will do everything that's needed to do to open the doors and all of that. And so it really has shaped my perspective that really we just got to be faithful. Like, if we'll be faithful, whatever it is that God is calling us to do, you know, we can, you know, push through and accomplish it through his power, because he's the one, you know, ultimately that's doing it. And so it's that, because at this point, you know, we went through a very traumatic pastoral transition. Like, when I became the pastor, that's not what I intended to do. And to see us make it through that, to see God do other things, it's like, if we can just be faithful, because he's going to do what he's planning to do in North Tulsa with or without us. And right now, it's just a huge privilege to be involved with that. So that, and then you just mature as you lead and make mistakes. And, you know, I'm almost 40 now. And so, yeah, there you go. Yeah. And so just that. And, you know, just really just being convinced that it's going to take God's people to be involved to see real change in the community. So I'm more resolute in that, just based on what I've seen. So yeah, I would say that's how it's changed me, just emphasis on faithfulness that I necessarily didn't have before.
So what about your relationship with your wife? How do you guys manage
the... Yeah, well, it's cool because we work together in that, and so that helps. And then just trying to protect our date night, you know, where she was like, hey, can we go on a date tonight? And I was like, no, we got to wait till Saturday. And so we try to do a date night like every weekend, either a Friday or a Saturday. And then just talking, like, we have a couple that when things get tough that we can go to and talk to, because, you know, one of our core values is authentic brokenness. And it's like, man, we want Crossover to be a place where it's okay to not be okay. And so as long as we don't pretend like we got it all figured out and we're not having issues, because like the pastor before me, like their marriage fell apart before our eyes and no one knew anything was wrong. And so for us, we're very sensitive to that, to where it's like, man, when we're getting into it about stuff, we're like, hey, let's, you know, slow down, let's talk speaker listening techniques, a lot of deep conversations, but making sure she has enough time off, because she's you know, kind of an introvert and likes some time. And so making sure we hit that balance, and if we get out of balance, kind of reset, and then trying to have that regular date night. And it's a little tough for us because both of our kids have special needs, and so finding a babysitter can be a little tougher than it is for the normal person, but making sure we do that, you know, no matter what. Our kids, okay, so Temple is our oldest. She's 11. She just turned 11 on the 20th, and Priest is our son. He turned 8 on the 16th. And they're great kids. We love them. They keep us on our toes. Our daughter has what's called Edwards syndrome, which is partial trisomy 18, which is causes a global delay. And she has what's called speech apraxia. And so it's kind of hard to understand what she says. But it's cool because she loves to sing. And so you can tell what she's singing by the melody and the tune and all of that. And my son is on the autism spectrum and stuff. So, just some of the things and quirks that come with that. Super intelligent guy and runs all over the place. But a lot of fun. There's just some challenges that come with that. But, yeah, that's us. Yeah. And we have a boxer named Ali. So, no, actually, that's our second boxer's name, Rocky, Ali. So we had two, and then Ali went to doggy heaven, and now we just got Rocky. But, yeah, so any other questions? Well, cool. And so, yeah, that's, I always tell folks that I can't think of anything else I'd rather do in my life, and that's what we're doing now. And it's an honor and privilege to get to share that work with you guys, and I do just ask you to pray for us. And then, yeah, if you want more information about how to partner with us, whether that's volunteering or even partnering with us financially, we have some information on the table, and I even have some of my business cards out there as well. Got you. I mean, right now it's higher than, because we only have 59 students. And like right now our budget is like $1 million for the school. And so, but the scholarships we give each kid through that scholarship program is a $6,900 scholarship. And through the tax credit deal, and I can explain it for anyone who wants more details on it, but the cap that you guys can get in tax credits for a couple is $2,000. So anyone who gives like a $2,600 donation to the scholarship fund, you'll get $2,000 back from the state, and then you also get your tax deductions as well. And so that's really we're trying to get folks to maximize that. Like if you can get $2,667, you'll get most of it back, and it'll be pretty much a wash, and it helps provide a scholarship for a student at Crossover Prep. And for our kids that are on IEPs, we have 18 kids on IEPs this year, which is an individualized education program. Their scholarships are $25,000 scholarships, just because it takes more to educate them. And so we have what are called academic coaches at our school. And every student has an academic coach. It's kind of like their one-on-one mentor, tutor, to make sure that they're on top of what they need to be on top of as a student. Well, thank you once again for allowing me to come and talk to you guys and to share with you what God is doing at Crossover.
Thank you, Philip.